Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. My name is Louis Mendes. I hope you guys are all well. On this week's show, we'll be looking back at yesterday's fantastic comeback against Blackpool as we fought back from two down to salvage a 2-2 draw with two goals in the space of 3 minutes inside the final 10. It really was an exciting end to the game at the Valley yesterday. Joining me to discuss that, first up, a man who's finally back from his honeymoon that took him all over South America. Tom Wallin, how you doing, Tom?
Yeah, I'm good. I was enjoying Rio, and then Michael Appleton came in, and I thought, well, right, I'd better get back and see what this new manager's about. So, yeah, good to be back. Good to be back.
Yeah, not a bad game to come back on as well, to be fair.
Yeah, it's been all right. Unbeaten, aren't we, since I left, I think. So, yeah, luckily I haven't come back and cursed us yet.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure it will come. Also, bottom of the screen there, a man who's dressed way too fancy for an episode of Charlton Live is Mr. Joe Puddyfoot. How you doing, Joe? You're suited and booted, mate.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I have to go out after this and be sociable. So I thought I'd dress up for everybody else as well. Hopefully, don't get too many more digs, but you know, we'll see what happens. I need Charlton to do a formal shirt, and then I.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent stuff. Right, we will hear the highlights of the game shortly. We're also going to hear, of course, from Mickey Appleton. We want to hear from you guys as well. Morning to everybody in the chat. All hell let loose is in there. Chris Davin, Keith, Sam, Alex, WCan, 76 Rufus, Paul Davenport, Alex. Oh, there's loads of people in there already. Michael and Dudley as well. So, yeah, make sure you give us your views on yesterday's game. Let us know what you enjoyed about the performance, what you didn't enjoy so much. Anything you want to say on yesterday's game, give us a little comment in the live chat. We've also got a guest fan joining us later on, Clive Richardson, who many of you may remember from the old Charlton chat shows back in the day. Those of you who've been listening to Charlton-related broadcasts slightly longer than some others will know Clive well. Yeah, we're going to speak to him. He was there yesterday, and yeah, we've arranged to have a good chat. Before we hear the highlights, Tom, I'm really interested to know what you made of it yesterday, obviously. So your last game before you went away was the Fleetwood game under Pearcey, just after Dean Holden had been sacked. This was your first chance to see a Mickey Apple's side. What did you make of it? What did you make of the game?
Yeah. So I saw Exeter on Tuesday as well. So I've seen two in quick succession. And again, this is probably going to sound silly, but luckily Joe said it first. The feeling I had when I came away from that Tuesday night wasn't buzzing about the performance. Obviously, we've won a game 4-1, so I'm not going to be too disappointed. But I was kind of like, the performance there is not dissimilar. It's just we took our chances. And on another day, that red card doesn't happen. And maybe they sneak back in the game because they still had chances towards the end. So left on Tuesday, obviously happy with the win, but, you know, not dancing off the walls. And then yesterday, I thought the performance was a lot better. I thought we started better. I wouldn't say we started brilliantly, but we really took the game to them and largely dominated. And yet, at half-time, we were 1-0 down. And I was like, OK, all right. But I thought second half, the sort of penetration in the final third was a lot better. I thought even when we went 2-0 down, and I think a couple of this said this on the chat, it felt like even at 2-0 down, I still felt like we'd get something from it. I thought at 1-0, when we were attacking in that second half, I was like, we're going to win this game comfortably. It's going to be another of those comebacks. And when they scored their second, I was like, okay, maybe the win's gone now, but I'm still pretty sure we're going to draw this game because we were so dominant. And then I almost left again slightly disappointed at the end with the fact that we hadn't won it. But I think what was nice yesterday, and I think I said this on Twitter, is it's the first game in a while that I've had where they've actually got my heart racing. They've actually got me invested in the game and wanting something from it. Because whether this sounds snobbish or not, it's hard to feel that sometimes in League One, because I just want to get out of this league, and it's hard to get up for these games. But yesterday, I was fully invested in it, fully behind them, and they gave us a performance in that second half where I was like, okay, I'm looking forward to coming back for the Reading game in a couple of weeks now and seeing what we can do. So, yeah, look, we're unbeaten since he came in, which is obviously encouraging. I think tactically we're starting to improve, and the way he talks about tactical adjustments during the game is something Dean maybe lacked. So, yeah, encouraging signs, I think, given the start we had.
Excellent stuff. Right, well, we will talk more about the performance in a few moments' time, but let's have a listen back to the goals on Charlton TV. Your commentators were Terry Smith and Greg Stubley.
This time it's Husband with the ball in the box. Jordan Rose with the chance, and Jordan Rose with the goal. Blackpool's first chance of the game equals a goal. The Addicts switching off. And got away with one when Hamilton couldn't quite cross it. But that time it was Husband on the left-hand side. His ball inside, and you can't give Jordan Rose chances like that. And Blackpool take the lead after 33 minutes.
Well, you mentioned there switching off. It started a lot earlier than that with that chance from, or the cross from Hamilton. Back out onto the left-hand side this time. Nobody spots the run of Jordan Rhodes, who has done that all his
Lucas
career.
Nesrin's a good header up in the air, but Hector
has been robbed by Dembele. He's in the area, Dembele, and he scores. And once again, defensive frailties cost Charlton. When we've been on the front foot, been in the ascendancy, gift the ball to the visiting side, and Dembele pounces, and Blackpool are 2-0 up.
For all Charlton's chances, again, it's just a mistake. It's Hector gets caught in possession. Dembele with that fresh legs. You see here, there's a long ball forward. Ness does well to win the header. Dobson down to Hector. He has to get out of his feet immediately. Dembele's quick. Hector thought about fouling him, decided against it. It's a good finish from the substitute.
Comes through it again. The same way. Does well to win the ball back off of Albie Morgan, sends it into the channel, asking Aniko to pursue it. That's a lovely touch by Chooks Aniko. They take it past Kosi. He's isolated a little bit. May's trying to make it up in the penalty area. Can he find him? Alfie May! Gets one back for Charlton. Made by Chooks Aniko. Finished by Alfie May. The Addicts back in this.
That's absolutely brilliant from Chooks Aniko. That is superb. That's a ball down the line. It's a good, clever ball from Asimwe down the line. But Nike not only gets there first, he also is patient. He waits for May. It's a brilliant run from May from deep. And I had this feeling, Tell, that Charlton would get back in this game. That from Nike. The desire to get there first. Brings this forward in space. He could go for goal. He sees May making that run. That's a lovely ball forward. That's not an easy finish either for May, because it bounces up awkwardly. He has to watch
to
it all the
Dobson.
Way.
Dobson out to Therese Campbell in the centre circle. Campbell with three players alongside him and ahead of him. Blackett Taylor making a run. Dobson making his way into the box as well. Blackett Taylor thinks about a shot. Oh! What a finish from Blackett Taylor! That's outstanding! Lovely football from Charlton. That started by Michael Hector. He's redeemed himself from that mistake that led to Blackpool's second goal. And Blackett Taylor on the left-hand side, after Charlton run at the Blackpool defence, back on his right, lifting the ball past Grimshaw. Therese Campbell bringing it forward, had three options. Blackett Taylor on the left, cuts inside from the edge of the box, unstoppable.
What a strike, what an absolute blinding strike from Corey Blackett-Taylor. Lovely run from Tyrese Campbell. Blackpool retreating, but allowed Blackett-Taylor to cut inside onto his right foot. A man with confidence. And that's a hell of a finish.
There we go, that's the highlights from Charlton TV yesterday. Great comms from the boys, as always. Joe, I mean, I put on Twitter yesterday, like, that game absolutely sums up what we're all about. Like, We have exciting players going forward, and now obviously more so than last year, the depth to change things off the bench. You know, Chucks and EK is a cheat code, as All Hell Let Loose put in the chat a bit further up. But defensively, we let ourselves down. I mean, that's sort of that's sort of been what's blighted us to an extent last year as well. You know, we score goals, we concede goals. But this year, it certainly, hopefully it's not going to go even more to the extremes, but we're certainly scoring goals, it feels like. But defensively, we've let ourselves down a little bit, and that's cost us, and that's what cost us last season as well.
Yeah, I said, actually not long before they scored, a couple of people around me yesterday said that they felt that we were on top and it was just a matter of time, although we hadn't actually created a lot, which was what I said. And I said, it feels like Tuesday. It feels like they're just going to go up the other end, score out of nothing, and then we're going to have to fight our way back again. And I think that's the problem. The one thing I will say about the first goal is I do think that that was a good goal, and it wasn't one of our rickets, but still, we've got that frailty at the back. I don't see us getting too many clean sheets before the end of the season, so it's going to be really, really important that those attacking players continue to score goals if we're going to go anywhere at all this year. But I think we either need a new defence or we need to work on the mentality. And there was, Hector was responsible for the second goal, but case in point, an identical run to Tuesday night, and a bloke gets through one-on-one again with the long ball over the top, where we just don't pick up those runners. And if we're not willing to do that, then that's going to be just a constant source of pain, because people are going to be like, we're just running behind and we'll chip it over the top and you'll be in acres of space. So I was pleased when Ness came on. I think that he was putting a really strong performance yesterday. And I know Hector's distribution is good, and probably is the reason he's in the team, to be fair, over necessarily, for me, his defensive work. But I'd like to see Jones and Ness with Watson and Eden when he's eventually back. And I think that is a defensive unit will probably ship less goals than the unit we've got now, because we're just too prone to switching off. And I think there's a couple of culprits that are case in point in there. Thomas did it a couple of times, but Hector's really bad at switching off when he's not directly marking the man on the ball.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk, or we will talk about Heck in a bit, because obviously the big mistake came from him. Do ask Michael about his overall performance as well. But Paul's saying, I can see why we're trying to get all three forwards in the team, but I don't think Tedic on the wing is working. If we are to proceed, I'd put Lieburn back out there and try Tedic in the centre. So the reason I picked that up is because I was just watching back the goals just before we came on, trying to see who lost the run for the first goal, because, you know, the howler for the second goal is one of those headline grabbing mistakes, which we do make way too often. But probably equally as concerning for me is the fact that we had, you know, as Joe said, I agree. I thought it was very similar to the first half on Tuesday. First 45, where we were in control of the ball without quite creating anything or anything serious. And they just had to wait for the one moment where we do fall asleep, Tom. And this time, actually, it was Tedic who was in that wide role. And, you know, we spoke to Miles a few weeks ago about the tracking back. You have to do that. So Tedic was one actually that let Husband get beyond him, because I initially thought it must have been Tanae Watson's guy. But having watched it back, actually, Tedic was the one who started tracking Husband and then just let him go. So I guess that plays a part in it. Like, if we are playing these sort of wide forwards in this 4-2-3-1, if you will, they need to understand that part of the game as well. So it's a tough one for Michael to decide exactly who can fulfill that role.
It's funny, isn't it? Because we spent 2 months of the season moaning that we didn't have enough forwards. And then on Tuesday night, when the lineup came out, I was like, why is he picking all these forwards? And all of them have got quality as well. And so, yeah, a bit like you've just said there, I see, and Paul said, I see why he's trying to do it, because we've got a lot of quality in attack now. And I think Tedic, in the sort of early part of his career, Charlton has looked like a bit of a handful. But we've mentioned it, I think Joe has mentioned it as well, square pegs in round holes as a Charlton team. That's what we tend to do, and that's what it felt like. The other problem with doing it like we did at the start of yesterday as opposed to Tuesday is I just don't like Miles up there on his own, really. If it is this sort of 4-2-3-1, if that's or 4-3-3 or whatever we're going to call it, Miles just looked completely isolated. I've just seen a couple of people on the chat saying he looked a bit flat and disinterested. I think it's very difficult, because when Chucks comes on, you see how good Chucks is. But Miles Lieburn is a good footballer. He's proven that last season. I just don't think he works as a one. He needs somebody alongside him. And Tedic, you could see the difference Tyrese made. Tyrese has come in for a little bit of criticism, hasn't started the season brilliantly, but when he came on, completely changed it on that right-hand side as well. So Yeah, I think it's about Michael Appleton working out who fits best where. I don't think Tedic on the wide has worked, and I don't think Leeburn centrally on his own has worked either. So, but at the same time, they're two quality players that he wants to get in. Enike, as Joe said, is a cheat code. He's somebody that is just going to dominate when he comes on. But the question remains, how long is that going to happen for? So there's still a lot of questions to be answered in that front line. And arguably, going back to Hector and the defence, we're having to score two goals a game if we want to get a win at the moment. And so I see why he's doing it, but I just don't think he's quite found it yet. But it's still early days. We are scoring goals, may still scoring from that deeper position. So there's a lot of positives there. But yeah, Tedic on the right, not quite working for me.
Yeah, W can say, morning, addicts. Birthday treat, that was yesterday. What a comeback. Massive reset. I hope you enjoyed your birthday. 76 Rufus said, it was another good, another game saved by Chooks, the game changer in Iki. I mean, the momentum shift when he came on was not only like ridiculous, but it was also immediate. It was the second he was on that pitch, all of those, that slightly frustrating style of play we'd had so far, where we'd seen a lot of the ball but weren't quite opening up the space, was immediately changed. It was absolutely insane. I mean, Chucks is a great player, but even by his extremely high standards, Joe, that was an incredible performance from him yesterday.
I mean, he just gets your heart racing and gets you off your seat. I mean, if half of that is attributed to just a fear that he's going to pull up at any point and we'd made all of our substitutions. So when he went for that, for his assist, when he went for that ball and they both went for it, I was like, oh my God, please, please. So you've got that, but it's his strength. He's so, so strong. He seems to just carry centre halves around in his back pocket for fun. And I don't know what it is about somebody that's that big and that strong, but he's still got a touch and he's a bumbly style as well. That Aribo was the same. You know, you kick the ball back at him and somehow he comes away with it and you don't really understand how he gets through. But he's going to be massive for us this season if he can stay fit. I don't know when the last time he would have made three appearances in a row would have been for us, but if he genuinely has got the right side of these problems that he's been having with his fitness and they found a way to get him back to the Enike that we had when he first came and he was able to stay fit for a period of time, then that's going to be a huge, huge sort of trick and ace up our sleeve. I still think he's better off the bench than when he starts because he's just got half an hour to give you absolutely everything rather than having to give you a little bit for 60 minutes. But when he finally starts getting hold of shots properly, as opposed to putting them in the north upper or scuffing them harmlessly wide, he is just going to go on a run. And I think that him and May together, we could be talking some serious numbers of goals over the course of a season.
Yeah, this is the structure of this show is going to be really weird because we are literally jumping from negative to positive to negative to positive, you know, and big positives as well. But, you know, big negatives, unfortunately. And heck, again, yesterday, Tom, you know, I still reiterate, there was a lot he got away with last season that I don't think fans picked up on as much because they weren't the headline-grabbing howlers that we've seen, you know, from your Ryan Innes's last season or, you know, everyone's had a go at it at some point, unfortunately. But yeah, even when he felt like he was having a bit of a better game yesterday, it's another moment. I don't know how that stops now. Like when you're Michael Hector, is that even if you're playing well and having a better game, that just underlines your performance, unfortunately. And you know, you said you felt sorry for him a little bit because he was having a better game, but at some point that has to stop, and presumably it's before you turn 30 years old or however old he is now.
Yeah, and it's not a confidence thing, is it? Because he's still prepared to take the ball, he's still prepared to move the ball around. It doesn't look like he's panicking, but almost in that point you almost wanted him to panic and just 2 feet long. This is an experienced defender. This is the guy that we thought would do the Jones role, I guess, in terms of leading that back four, because I think you guys said it a lot in the weeks that I was away, and I agree with it, that he's been one of the standout players in that back line. Maybe not a great accolade to have when the back line's performed as it has, but he's certainly been one of the better players. But we continue to not be able to find a partner for him. And Michael Hector yesterday had an okay game up until that mistake. And after that mistake, again, he still made a couple of good, strong challenges. But you can't then give away a goal as simply as you have if you're going to do all that other stuff, because it kind of, as you said, makes that other stuff almost irrelevant. I think why I felt sorry for him is there was, and I said it to you, I know you said you didn't hear it from the press box, smattering of boos for a few touches after, which I didn't like. It was very small sample size and it did go quickly because he put a good tackle in at one point. And then he just genuinely looked gutted at the end as well. But ultimately, this is a professional footballer. You know, I'm not going to feel too sorry for him. They're well paid. He's doing a job that he's done for a long time, and he needs to be better than this. And he's got a couple of weeks out now. I don't know if he's been called up for international duty or not, but he's definitely, Joe's nodding. So if he has, that's a chance to, you know, do something different. It's obviously still football, but it's in a different environment with a different set of players. Maybe he can just get his head back in check there, because I think that's probably better than just sitting around and waiting for the next game. But I think there is a chance that him and Jones could work. I thought, like Joe, I thought Ness looked okay when he came on as well. So, yeah, I feel sorry for him because, you know, it's not like he's doing it on purpose. But as I say, at the same time, he's a professional footballer and we need to win games. And arguably, he's potentially cost us a victory there. So, yeah, with my just pure Charlton head on, we need to get that sorted. And he needs to take responsibility for that, which, as I say, with the apology at the end, I think he did. But, yeah, we're just doing this too many times, aren't we? We've done it for too many seasons, and now already this season, we're doing it just too many times, just throwing silly points away. And already at this stage in the season, I know you did the graph on Thursday, it means we're playing catch-up already, which is, really frustrating.
Yeah, Sam saying, I felt our defence really let us down yesterday. Apart from that, we looked very sharp up front. The subs that we made were very good as well. Now, Chris is one of many people who are talking about Alfie May. In the chat, says it seems like May has been at Charlton for years, not just joined this season. A real fan favourite, cult hero, works his nuts off for 90 minutes and he's a goal scorer. So in my takeaways today, I've sort of tried to highlight the fact that, so we are, with the formation we have, we are playing a lot of strikers in slightly differing roles, and Alfie finds himself in this slightly deeper 10 role. But of all the players we are playing, if you want to call it out of position, you can. But, you know, in a different role, I'd probably call it. Alfie is the one I've actually decided I'm least worried about, because it doesn't matter where he's playing. He's everywhere. He is absolutely everywhere. He's on the wing at one point. He's back on the edge of his own defence at some points, helping out if he has to be. But no matter how often he's run wide or run a channel or whatever, he's still in between the posts when he needs to be. I mean, he is an unbelievable goal scorer. And the ground he had to cover just to catch up with Chooks and EK for that first goal back yesterday, Joe, this shows what he's all about. 7 goals already this season. I mean, he has proved to be a fantastic signing already.
Yeah, and I mean, that the run for the goal is brilliant. Just the desire. He is not accepting that anybody else is going to get into that opportunity or get that opportunity other than him. He's so determined. But his game intelligence, I think, is why he's so valuable. You know, when you're hitting long balls up, there was one yesterday where he was never, ever going to win it. He just dropped 6 or 7 yards off the centre-back, and the centre-back nodded it straight to him. Thank you very much. Off he goes. And he's passing. He's got a good range on him. He's finding little spaces to pick up the ball and move it on. And I think that will only build and grow as he does in that role. And he still does find goals. And if you're going to win anything or get anywhere over the course of a season, one of the key things you're going to need is goals from midfield. So if you're playing a striker who's going to get you goals in that position, then that is obviously going to really help. The one thing that I do think across the whole of that front sort of four, if you want to call it that, is that the three of them, we are just lacking a little bit more creativity. And I do think that the striker out wide for me is an experiment that has failed. And I would like to see one of the Campbells get that wide right berth, regardless of who plays up front. Actually, I'm not that emotionally attached whether Tedic or Lee Byrne or Anike starts, but just to give May a little bit more space and a bit more foil, because I think that having someone else that's a bit more tricky that can create will free him up to almost run in behind and use some of his pace and his work rate for the attacking game a little bit more. So I was actually calling for it before it was done that we could have a 4-2-2-2 and then May dropping off in that hole in defence just because of his work rate. But he's an unreal signing. He scored 6 more goals than this previous club in the league this season. So that shows you just how important he is and was to them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Cheltenham got their first goal yesterday. God bless them. Fair play to them. We should say, 2 minutes later, and it was Michael Hector that started this move. You know, we give him criticism when necessary, but he made a good challenge to start this move. But I mean, obviously the star of the show, Corey Blackett Taylor's goal. It's one of those rare goals that look good. Like, so I feel like I've found over the years that goals that look good in the stadium sometimes don't look as good on TV, and I'm always disappointed when I get home and watch it. I felt better in the stadium. This one looked good in the stadium, but on TV it somehow looks even better. Like, this was an unbelievable strike from Corey Blackett Taylor. And again, like, I think I'm saying this every week at the moment about Corey. I don't think I would have expected him to have scored that goal maybe a year ago. Like an absolute pinger from outside the box. So, do you remember that run he had at Portsmouth a couple of years ago, and his shot from outside the area wasn't quite right? He's just adding something to his game. But I mean, it was a moment, you know, similar to Ipswich 4-4 last season. It was a proper moment that was at the Valley. Limbs all over the shop, like coming back from two down in the space of 3 minutes inside the final 10 minutes of games. That was a proper enjoyable sort of few seconds at the Valley yesterday. And that's what it's all about for me. I love it when the Valley's like that, Tom.
And that's what I mean about them just getting me back into it. Even, you know, on Tuesday, I was kind of like, okay, we've won 4-1, fine. I kind of expect that. They were down to 10 men. But this game, the crowd was already up, and then he cuts inside. And like you, I'm like, surely he's not going to. He just unleashes it into the top of the net. And I completely agree with you. I watched the highlights back this morning and I was like, oh, I don't remember it looking as good as that, because it looked even better on telly. So, yeah. And at that point, and that's why I said at the start, I was slightly disappointed with the draw in the end, because at that point I was like, we're going to score about 8 the way we're going now, the way the crowd were. What I loved was when they were celebrating, George Dobson runs over to them. Someone mentioned it on our chat as well, but you see that in the highlights. Goes and just grabs them all. He's like, stop celebrating. Come on, we've got to go and get a third. And that you could see that they thought they were going to go on and win the game as well. And Blackpool probably did slightly well to slow it down. They obviously had a chance at the end, which could have killed it as well. But, yeah, just a fantastic goal. And, you know, we've probably mentioned him every single week, and rightly so, because he is the standout player in this team at the moment. Alfie May is obviously running him close. I know he had a little bit of a slow start. But for me, what Corey is doing on this pitch, I don't know many players in this division that could do that. I think Lewis maybe mentioned it on Thursday show as well. I don't think there's anybody quicker, anybody who can take men on like he can. And like you, I can't remember if we said it at the back end of last season, but it certainly wasn't a guarantee that he stayed, because he wasn't consistent enough. And then he had that opening game at Leighton Orient where he must have beaten his man about 150 times. We're like, okay, if we can see this, you know, 7-8 games out of 10, then we've got a bit of a player here now. And I think he's done it every single week that I can recall. So, yeah, brilliant for him. He's clearly flying. He's clearly high on confidence. He's in a position that he's clearly comfortable in. And, yeah, I think when he has Eden behind him as well, then he's got a bit more defensive support, because I think Terrell Thomas still looks a little bit exposed there. Maybe he even has to do slightly less of the defensive work. But, yeah, just every game he's just getting better and better and better, and it's just a joy to watch. But, as I say, yeah, just as a collective, I thought they were going to go on and win the game. So there's a little tinge of disappointment there. But as a strike, just probably the best we've seen so far this season, I would argue.
Yeah, certainly up there. We can debate that later. There's still loads to talk about from yesterday's game. There's loads in the chat. There's a couple of points I want to make about people involved yesterday. But I think we should hear from Mickey Apple soon. We've got Clive Richardson in the waiting room as well. He's going to join us later on as our guest fan this week. Talk a little bit about yesterday's game, and also tell us a bit about Cheltenham Chat, the old Addicts radio show. So, yeah, looking forward to that later on. But let's hear from Mr. Mickey Apples now. He came to speak to me after yesterday's 2-2 draw with his former side, Blackpool.
Great comeback, really entertaining game. I guess if it went on another 5 minutes, you felt you might have gone on and won that.
Yeah, I think so. I think even before we scored in the game, I thought we created a lot of chances in that second half once we come out of the blocks quicker. I mean, it was a game that I felt we had two sides, one side really wanting to win the game and the other one had moments in the game, and I knew that would be the case because they're really well organised and set up to let the opposition have the ball and try and hit them on the counter-attack, and that's what they certainly did for the first one a little bit. But really happy with the response the players showed. Like I say, we created lots and lots and lots of chances in the game. And listen, you know, they had a few chances as well as the two goals they got, but that came from always having to take risks and push forward.
And your side have shown some character since you come. I don't know if you're aware of the stats from before you came in. Cheltenham didn't come from behind very often, but they've done that quite a lot recently. What do you think has been the difference?
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly we don't want to get used to doing that, you know, but I think the one thing I did say when I come in is to try and hopefully improve the mentality and the, you know, the sort of never say die spirit, and, you know, willing to sort of push and prod and go all the way to the end. And we certainly did that today, and we needed it, and the fans were unbelievable. You know, even at 2-0, obviously it was a little bit of an error, but these things happen. I think they've seen in the team, or they've seen enough in the team at the minute, that they're giving absolutely everything. And we're going to have errors, and we're going to make mistakes, and we're going to concede goals at times because we're still growing as a group. But I think you've seen enough, certainly today and on Tuesday, to suggest that, you know, they're willing to have a right goal.
Yeah, I mean, Charlton going forward have been pretty good for the last few years, but it has been those mistakes at the back. Obviously, we've seen senior defenders unfortunately make those. How can you iron those moments out?
I think it's one of them where they iron themselves out, certainly from an individual point of view. Obviously, X is a, you know, superb professional. I thought his performance was excellent on the day. He obviously had that one error. He made two really, really important tackles after that error. So obviously, clearly, he cleared his mind pretty quickly. I try and use the phrase, you know, you've got to have a goldfish moments in games. So if you make a mistake, you've got to get it out of your system quickly. And he did that, and he was great. And like I say, them type of things, they iron themselves out. You know, the first one we can deal with better as a group. We can be defend it much better as a unit. And obviously, we'll look at those things. But, you know, I think it's easy for me to try and sort of touch on what we don't do particularly well. But the reality is, when we've got a group like we are, you've got to be really, really careful and not stepping away from what you're really good at. So it's just getting that balance in between.
When you've got someone like Chooks and EK on the bench, you can make the difference he did today. I mean, that, even for Chooks, that was a really good performance.
Yeah, well, he's in a really good place. I can't sort of tell you he's in a really, really good place. I think I've got a good relationship with Chooks. We speak all the time. We had a good chat on Thursday about, you know, whether it was from the bench or starting. Obviously, you know, he's got a bit of a history with his injuries. I want him to be fit all season, so I've got to get the best out of him. And by doing that, I have to trust him and know when it's right for him and for us to start him. You know, you could tell he was bang up for it when he come off the bench. There's no doubt about it. And listen, we've got a game to negate on Tuesday, which is important to me because I want to win games and keep winning games and keep momentum. And then a little bit of a break, so gives me a little bit of a dilemma for the Reading game, and it's a one that every manager and coach up and down the country is delighted with.
I guess one that won't be a dilemma is obviously Corey's absolutely flying at the moment, but you're talking about having trust in the players. You have to have trust in yourself at that time in the game to know you've got the quality to go for goal from range like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, again, I'm going to bore people with it, but the biggest thing for me with Corey in the second half was running without the ball. Didn't do it in the first half. He was coming to feet as we were all, and we were almost enjoying playing in front of Blackpool. Whereas in the second half, we were constantly threatening behind and looking to get in behind him, and Curry did that as well as most. But then, you know, what that tends to happen is when they look and they're worried about you running behind, they drop a little bit deeper. And obviously, they just kept dropping deeper and deeper into the box, which obviously allowed his opportunity.
Obviously, that second half performance and the fact that it's another game unbeaten keeps that momentum going forward. I guess it's almost frustrating that in terms of league, you've got an international break coming up now.
Yeah, a little bit, but sometimes it's one of them as well where, you know, we have got a few players with knocks and a couple of, you know, slight strains and stuff. Lloyd Jones today played. He's been ill for 3 days. And that's why it was touch and go before the game, whether we'd start the game or not. We did most of the prep in the last 2 days with Lucas in the team, but I just felt where Lloydie is at this moment in time, mentally and physically, as long as I got the green light from him, I was happy for him to play.
Yeah, Gabriel Brenner was here today, one of the new owners. Obviously, Charlton fans haven't had a chance to hear much from him yet. Have you spoken with him while he's been over?
Yeah, I spoke to him. When was it? It was last week at some point, maybe Thursday last week, maybe Friday last week, before we played Shrewsbury. I had about half an hour before training. just getting to know each other a little bit more. Obviously, I'm aware of his background, and he clearly done his sort of due diligence, like you'd expect, because obviously, you know, a lot of the football side in terms of the interviews and stuff like that was with the likes of Andy and the like. So it was good. It was good. I had a really good chat, really positive chat. And listen, if we can do anything similar to what he did with one of his sort of sides in the States in terms of where he took them and where, you know, he ended up leaving them, then I think every Charlton fan will be really happy.
Yeah, I'm guessing you won't be dealing with him a great deal. He's going to be more hands-off in this club.
Yeah, that's why there's obviously the board that there is in terms of, you know, Andy and Simon and Charlie and Jim, etc., and Ed. They would be more my sort of line managers, so to speak, and go to, and I'll be dealing with them on a regular basis.
Excellent. Just finally, obviously, as you mentioned, Aston Villa coming up on Tuesday then, so probably a change side. That is normal for this competition. Yeah. But, I mean, you mentioned yourself, it's one that means a lot to you.
Well, it does, because I've lost in the final twice, so I want to put that right at some point. And I've also lost on penalties in the semi-final. So, you know, I look at that competition and people disrespect it at times and stuff, but it is an opportunity to win a trophy. It's arguably one of the only competitions in the country where every single team that enters it can win it. You know, and that's my attitude towards it. So, yeah, we'll give it our best shot. Hopefully we can win the game, stay in the competition, and it's great for people who need minutes as well.
Yeah. Was it sweeter than it was Blackpool?
Yeah.
Why was that sweeter? Because you've been there twice, the fans were...
Yeah, I think I get a little bit of a, hard rep or bad rep. I think if people dug a little bit deeper, I think I get a little bit more respect. Yeah.
Because the fans were having a go at you and you sort of cupped your ear when you...
Yeah, a bit of banter, innit? Yeah. A bit of banter. It's good. It's good for the game.
Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts, and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured, and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello fellow addicts, I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, The River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich, it has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your matchday routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. Just before the adverts there, we heard from the Addicts boss, Mickey Appleton, after yesterday's 2-2 draw against his former side. I just clipped the bit just to add it in about the banter with the away fans. So I completely missed this, but apparently he was cupping his ears at the away fans when we got back to 2-2, which Dean said he enjoyed. He said they were very colourful. We heard why, which made me laugh. Couple of things we haven't mentioned from yesterday's game. Defensive mistakes ironing themselves out. That's what Michael said, Tom. And they're still pretty crinkly at the moment, unfortunately. We need to get a steam iron or something because they haven't ironed themselves out just yet.
No. And as I say, at the moment, we're having to score a minimum of two goals just to win a game. And that's the difference at the moment between us and that top six. We're still a little way off it. I know we're much improved. We're unbeaten since August, aren't we, I think now. So there are positives. There's lots of positives. And I think we've spoken about a lot of them. I think the defence is improving. Obviously, we got the clean sheet away at Shrewsbury, I think, when we were away. We obviously had that one big error on Tuesday night, but after that, we were relatively solid. And as we said, that first goal yesterday was, I know there were things we can pick up on, but the movement of Rhodes in the middle, etc., was pretty decent. And so, one mistake yesterday. So, that's still not acceptable for a team that want to get out of this division. You can't be coming onto a show on a Sunday and going, well, we only made one mistake, but at least it's less than we had during August and the early parts of the season. So, we're getting there. Apples hasn't had too long in the job. He's obviously got another long period on the training ground like he would have. I can't remember exactly when he came in, but obviously it was an international break. So this is probably the longest period he'll have with a lot of the players. Sadly, not with Michael Hector because he'll be away, but he can work with some of them. He can, obviously, people like Chuck's got a chance to recover. So, yeah, I think coming into the Reading game, I'm not sure we're, you know, Derby aren't flying by any stretch. They're not blowing teams away every week, but I feel like that Derby game maybe would have come a bit too quick for us at the moment. But with that aside, I think he's got a bit of time to work on some things, settle into this 4-2-3-1 sort of formation that he seems to be playing. And I think largely we've got to be positive, right? Because we are unbeaten in a little while and we're starting to turn the corner. Still a long way to go. But there are green shoots there for sure.
Derby off next week, as Tom mentioned there. So all hell let loose asking if we're going to do a show next week. We won't. We'll have a week off for the international break. As we always do. McSquared on email said, six games unbeaten after our woeful start is a massive positive in spite of the defensive frailties that are costing us far too many points. We should have been dead and buried before Super Sub Chuck saved us from a disaster. He's an attacking force as a team. We now look capable of causing any side in League One problems with Corey, Alfie, Chucks all looking particularly potent. All in all, based on overall chances, a draw was probably fair. So at least a point wasn't less than we deserved on the day. Joe, we haven't mentioned, so on we were really lucky to be joined by Tom Main from the It's Not Orange pod on Thursday, our Blackpool correspondent. Obviously, Lewis asked him just for an update on how Albie's been getting on. I mean, Albie came on at 2-0 yesterday, and within 6 minutes or so, it was 2-2. Gave away the ball at one point in the lead-up to one of our goals. I think it was the first one. Albie was Albie yesterday, wasn't he? Albie's always going to be Albie. That's what Albie does.
Yeah, and I did put in our group that it's nice to see Albie making a difference for Charlton at long last, because he came on and we were rejuvenated. But it's always going to be a challenge. They were always going to struggle when we brought the guns on that we did off the bench, and the atmosphere I think was changed more by the change we made than Albie himself. But It was nice to see him back. He's a player that I wasn't too sad to see go. And if you think that of the quality that we've got in our midfield now, I don't think he would get on the bench. So I'm pleased he's somewhere playing some football. But as horrible as it sounds, I hope we don't hope playing next season. I hope the club can go on and go up the leagues and get to a better level than I think Albie will get to. But for all these players that do come back, I think it does show really how far we've come in one window. Because if we were picking Albie and if he was part of that 18, I don't think it would be as strong. I'm hoping that when Claire comes down, we have a similar feeling. We look at
it and say, I was just about to say all we need is Claire to gift us a goal by falling asleep at the far post, and the circle will have been complete.
Did you see his assist in the week?
Yeah, for Burton.
Just great. Just on the edge of his box, just laid it off to their midfielder to tuck in the top corner. So if he does that, then he'll finally be in my good books. He wasn't when he was here.
This is what we talk about when we say we need to up our levels. We're not saying these players are bad people or, you know, are trying to play badly, but we have to be at a certain level, and too many of our players over the last few seasons weren't at that level. I absolutely agree with Chris saying decent reception for Albie from the Valley fans. That's fully what he deserved. Like, there was a couple who booed when he came on. I thought that was ridiculous because it's not like he was a shirker or didn't try. But, you know, it's just levels that we got to talk about. But, yeah, no, I couldn't understand why anyone booed him. I couldn't understand why anyone booed Stockley a few weeks ago. Like, just because they weren't quite the level we wanted them to be by the end of their time with us. Although Albie arguably got better towards the end of his time. You know, it didn't mean they didn't try. I didn't see the point in that. But anyway, finally, before we bring in our guest fan, Gabriel Brennan was there yesterday. It sounds like he was there Tuesday as well. I don't know if he went to Shrewsbury. I asked Michael about the conversation he's had with him. The only thing I didn't really understand was he said, you know, we've got to talk about how, you know, if we can agree what he did, if we can recreate what he did with his American team. Well, I looked up his results with Houston last night. They weren't great. Like, they finished in the bottom four of the Western Division pretty much every season he was there. Crowds were dwindling from the time he took over to by the time he left. So unless I've missed something there, you know, he didn't have a great time out there. But yeah, he's not going to play a big role as Mickey Apples confirmed there. He will report to his line managers, which include the likes of Andy Scott and Charlie Mevin, his line managers. You know, they're his line managers. They're obviously quite heavily involved in the club as his line managers. So, yeah, what did you make of Gabriel being there yesterday? I mean, good he came to watch it, at least.
Yeah, I don't think, similar to you, really, I don't think how much of a difference it makes if he's not going to have that much kind of interaction in the day-to-day running of the club. I think Andy Scott, so far, has done all right, you know. I think it's a pretty small sample size, but he's done okay. Mevin, for all he said about kind of working in the background once the deal was done, seems to be a bit more involved than perhaps we were expecting. And I know fans will have different views on that based on his reputation and things he's done in the past. But I think it's nice that if they get the chance and they're over, however many hundreds of American investors are in this consortium, that they come along and show that they're interested. But apart from that, I think that the problem with the owners we've had in recent years is owners who don't know enough about football getting too far involved. I think what we've seen in the early stages of this consortium seems to be that they're letting people who are more knowledgeable about football or involved in football, depending on the names that you're looking at, sort of stick to that and kind of being relatively silent. So, yeah, show an interest for sure. But, you know, if he was radioing down to Michael and telling him to bring certain players on, unless he was telling him to bring Chucks on, in which case it's a stroke of genius.
But he'd done really well if he was.
Yeah, so, look, it's good that he wants to be involved, but just don't get too involved. And that seems to be roughly what they're sort of talking about, which I think is a good balance.
Yeah, excellent. Right, I think it's guest fan time. We've left Clive waiting in the waiting room for way too long. Let's bring him onto the screen now. Clive Richardson is this week's guest fan. Clive, how are you doing? Good to see you.
Okay, good morning. Thanks for asking me aboard. It was very, a positive step yesterday. And as the football was, I've been heard you guys discussing and analysing yesterday's, I think we all saw the same thing. I was reporting back to Maritime Radio at half time and was told we'd had, I think, 65% possession in the first half. And I said to Tim, it's no good having 65% possession of it's passing amongst your backs four. It looks good on the stats, but it doesn't actually create anything impact-wise up top, which it certainly didn't. And I agree with what Tom said. I think Tedic is wasted out on the right wing. The formations probably will iron themselves out at some point, but Alfie's certainly relishing in the number 10 role. And a good draw, it could have been a good win. That shot from Aniki into the top tier in the of the covered end had gone anywhere near the goal, we'd have all been very ecstatic. But as it was, I drove Kevin Nolan home last evening, because his normal chauffeur wasn't there. And as Kevin said to me, if your first goal is not, if you don't score first, your first goal is then an equaliser rather than a leading goal. And the whole psychology of being one behind is a huge albatross around the neck of any football team. We've got the wherewithal to actually come to terms with that, as we did yesterday. But wouldn't it be nice to be in the lead rather than coming from behind?
Yeah, so I was going to ask you actually, Clive. So I looked up the stats about coming from behind yesterday. So we've already taken 8 points from losing positions this season. In each of the last two, we'd only taken six. We've been right at the bottom of the table in terms of coming from behind. Obviously, you can try and say, oh, maybe we haven't been behind that much. I can guarantee you that we have. So why do you think it's different this year? Because, I mean, obviously, when you see that, you tend to lean towards, oh, the lads have got some character. And I think they've certainly shown that this year. But I guess that's also an indication of what we do have on the bench. You know, Chooks coming on yesterday, we were able to bring on Lee Byrne in midweek. That does show the depth we have in that attacking sense.
Yes, there's an impact there, isn't there? As Apple said yesterday afternoon, I mean, his attitude in the press conference that we've just seen, I was happy enough to be part of that. He's very positive character, different personalities to what Dean was, but he sees the game in a different way. What does concern me yesterday, as it did on Tuesday, when a very similar thing happened, we looked very, very comfortable in the first half hour. But comfortable doesn't win matches. And as we saw on Tuesday, we let a sloppy goal in. Yesterday, we let a sloppy goal in with the first goal. Even worse, with Big Heck making that awful error later on. I mean, you've got two behind. It's a mountain to climb. The mental attitudes are good, as you mentioned just now. Seeing Dobbo go and get the ball from Corey after the first goal went in, or the second goal went in. We've got that attitude amongst certain players. I didn't think Corey had the best of games in the first half yesterday. One or two touches didn't quite work for him, but he picked it up second half, which is, again, the marking of a good player. If you've had a bad 5 or 10 minutes, a bit like me on the tennis court, you know, you then go out and actually win a couple of points, think, yes, it's a confidence thing. And as with all sports, confidence is as much part of the game as technique, and you've got to have a balance of the two. And fortunately, yesterday it worked out as it did on Tuesday. It worked out very, very well. Yesterday, it worked out well enough. And say the Albie Morgan factor coming on yesterday was another factor. I was a bit disappointed here a couple of boos. I quite liked Albie. I thought he had a lot of character. As you just said, Louis, perhaps he was a couple of peds short of what we actually needed even last year when he was here. But it's always nice to see our ex-players coming on, as we do frequently across the whole league. So many ex-addicts coming on various teams and doing their bit. Shows we've got a thriving academy, as we know, and probably will be borne out on certainly tomorrow and on Tuesday evening with the under-21s against Villa under-21s. So the academy coming through is building a whole youthful pattern of emerging players.
Now, I spoke to you a couple of home games ago and obviously on yesterday as well, just talking about why I really wanted to get you on the show. Now, quite a few of our listeners in the chat have said, it's great to see you back. Chris has mentioned that, Alan as well as Paul. So over the last couple of months, Southers has been releasing some old Charlton chat shows. So I listened to one with Mike Flanagan, who was at the time, obviously, a legendary Charlton striker. At the time, was the assistant to Lenny Lawrence. And it was quite a controversial show because he came on your show, spoke about how he slightly disagreed with the tactics that the manager had played the day before and immediately got sacked. So I listened to that and I thought this was absolutely fascinating, not only to hear that specific story, but also listening back to how broadcasting was done regards Charlton and a fan-led show back in the day. So tell us a little bit about Charlton Chat. When did it start? How did it broadcast? And what sort of big stories did you have back in the day?
Well, it was a combination of circumstances led partly by fate. I was broadcasting on RTM radio then with an R&B show, as I do now on Soda and on Maritime Radio. And we used to finish on air at 8 on a Sunday evening, and the station closed down at that point. Charlton were playing at Selhurst at the time, and we were in the Glaziers bar before a game. This would be about 89, I suppose, thereabouts. And I said that Steve was obviously in the role of commercial manager there, which is how I got on board helping in the radio room when John Fuller was doing the radio room work then, all those years ago. So we were chatting before the match in the bar, and I said to Southers, well, the spare time on RTM, any interest in doing a Charlton-related show on there? He said, yes, please. So I spoke to Patrick Rudden, who was a station manager at RTM then, and said, we got a potential for a football show on a Sunday evening after my R&B show. What's the deal? He said, go for it. So we did. And as we all know, Southers is not a man to turn down a go for it request. And go for it we did. And in his role, I think we had almost the entire playing staff on, certainly the entire management staff and several historic players, the Arthur Horsfields and people going back even further than that. Derek Afton, Martin Simons, Richard Murray came on, Parksy as well. So we had everybody who was anybody at Charlton come in there, and the phone lines open as well. And Vic from Charlton, a regular caller, Vic, Mr. O'Connor, is still in the Charlton fold now with the lovely Sylvia. And that's just how it all began. And Steve had the way, as we know in radio, Louis and guys, of being able to connect with persons and be able to have a chemistry with the interviewee, be able to get them to talk comfortably as a conversation rather than as a Q&A thing. And conversations work better, even in the music context. I find having a conversation with a musician is better than doing a Q&A, because Q&A is very flat in context, but a conversation opens things up more, as you did with Mike Flanagan on that evening. And the rest, as I say, is history, and as Mike found out to his cost. But it made good radio, as did the show with Charlie Rice and the two or three charity shows we did with Carl Howman, with Cheryl Baker. We had anybody who was anybody in the world of media on the show at that time. It ran for, I think, probably a couple of years on RTM, primarily on cable, then on whatever frequency, 102.6, I think it was, on FM for a short while as well.
Yeah, you used to hear great stories about people, because obviously it would only be available in a certain range from where it was broadcast. So you used to hear great stories about people driving up to Shooter's Hill and holding the area out the window and stuff so they can listen to it. It became a real event, didn't it? Was it a Sunday night you broadcast?
It's a Sunday night, yes, 8 to 10 on a Sunday evening, with me doing mainly. Steve obviously took all the football related stuff. I was linking with music, as I've done historically for 40 years on radio. Yes, I'm that old. But it kind of worked, and the telephones, I had telecaster, not the guitar, but a 6-line switchboard on my desk, so I could take calls off air and then put them through when Steve was ready for them. And it worked a treat, and it taught me a lot about live radio at the time, being tech op as well, and co-presenting the show. And it certainly built a reputation. Now Southers has got all the stuff that he managed to record things on cassette. These days, of course, all radio stuff is recorded on the master reel anyway. But in those days, Steve would record it on cassette at home or wherever. And now he's found these cassettes and built the website and with Dan. And the whole thing now is available for global consumption.
Yeah, James is saying that we should make Clive a regular. I could listen to him all day. And as you said, though, I mean, those old episodes are available to listen back to. Southers has put a handful of them up on Apple Podcasts and on all the usual places. I mean, if you had to recommend one of the ones that is available, I mean, obviously I went for the Flanagan one because it caused such a stir at the time. Are there any other ones you suggest that our listeners should go and check out?
I think the Charlie Wright one was good, because Charlie Wright, as we all know, is a great character as a goalkeeper and as one who had a good discourse with the fans behind the goal at that time. And Charlie, at that time, he had a cafe in Gwynedd. I'm not sure what happened to the aftermath of that, but certainly Charlie was a good, bubbly character. Footballers aren't always good talkers, as we know. They're not paid to talk. They're paid to use their feet. You get the occasional thing. The other one was Peter Shirtley was another one who came in, and Shirts was a great conversationalist, and we talked through the legendary evening at St Andrews. I was there that night as well, and was on the coach that got bombarded with bricks by the Leeds fans coming out of Birmingham. All these as I wrote about in the club programme last year. But these were all things, and the Charlton chat certainly a benchmark in sports broadcasting of its time, which has proved to be perhaps a foundation stone for what's followed.
Yeah, certainly. I've always sort of linked Charlton Live as being almost like a child from the Charlton chat days. But yeah, look, we've actually run out of time, which is a shame, because I really enjoyed that, Clive. That was really fascinating. We will have to get you back on, because I feel like there's a lot more to talk about in terms of the Charlton chat days. We'll have to get Southers alongside you as well, and you can tell us all those great stories from your broadcasting days. But yeah, Clive, that was brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us on Charlton Live, and I'll see you at the next home game. Cheers. Absolutely brilliant. There we go. That's Clive Richardson, who was this week's guest fan. We are literally into the last minute. So, Tom, very quickly, Villa 21s on Tuesday. Mickey has been to the final twice, as he said. It is a competition that means something to him. It's a competition that doesn't mean a great deal to our fans, unfortunately, as the attendances suggest. But Yeah, looking forward to that one. Even I'm not going to be there, sadly. So,
no, not interested in the slightest. I mean, if we got to Wembley, cool, nice day out. But no, not at all. I think give some players who haven't had much opportunity some time, like some people like Chen Campbell, who Croy Anderson, if he's fit, people who've perhaps been a bit unlucky to not get more minutes, and then crack on, get back on the training ground, give some players some rest. Good couple of weeks prep into Reading. I think that's very much the focus. So no, can't say I'll be paying much attention, sadly, but that's the nature of that competition.
Excellent. Normally I would be there. I just have, you can't call it babysitting duties when it's your own kid, but I have to look them up, unfortunately. So I have to look after my kids. So I won't be there on Tuesday, but I will hopefully watch on the stream. Look, we've run out of time. I really, really, really enjoyed today's show. It was an entertaining game yesterday. Even if, you know, we didn't quite get the result that we wanted overall. But yeah, a good comeback, a good point. Hopefully we can build on that when we come back off the international break. Massive thanks to everyone who's joined us in the live chat today or listened via the podcast afterwards. Don't forget to hit subscribe wherever you follow us, whether that be on YouTube or on your podcast app or on both. Hopefully. Massive thanks to Clive, who was an excellent guest, and we will be getting back on the show because that was really interesting. Especially for, I find as a slightly younger fan, listening back to those shows from just before I was supporting the club, I learned a lot. So yeah, I definitely recommend going and check out those Charlton chat shows as well if you get a chance. Big thank you, as always, to Tom and Joe. Always an absolute pleasure to have you on the pod.
Cheers, lads.
Yeah, cheers, lads.
Yeah, good to see you bothered to come back to the country now, Tom, so we can use your services again. I'm glad you had a good honeymoon. Right, I'm Louis Mendez. Thanks for listening to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. We will have a week off now for the international break, but we'll be back a week on Thursday as we'll gear up for the return to action against Reading. We shall see you then.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.